WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Wednesday. We begin today a series of interviews with candidates running for office in the city of Butler in the upcoming primary. We are actually a little less than a month away now from primary election day on May 16th. Now, we're going to be talking with all over the next, almost the next week, several days. We're going to be talking to all of the candidates who are either running for mayor or Butler City Council. We'll have three candidates with us today. By the way, today we have a slightly shortened edition of It's Your Turn because we're going to be going to St. Louis just before 1:30 this afternoon for Pirate Baseball. The Pirates playing an afternoon game in St. Louis against the Cardinals. But we will be talking with the two candidates today who are seeking election to the mayor's office in the city of Butler. We'll also be talking with a gentleman who's seeking election to a seat on city council. So we're going to go right ahead forthwith because obviously we have limited time with each candidate. But we want to give everybody a chance to talk a little bit about what they see as major issues and hopefully give you, the listeners, a chance to make a better informed judgment whenever you go to the polls. So our initial guest today is Michael Walter, who is seeking the Republican nomination to run for mayor. Mr. Walter, good to see you again. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me here.
A little bit about, and we'll start out the same as we do with all the candidates, a little bit about your background. Some people will know you, some people will not. Some people may be scratching their head and saying, wants to be mayor, isn't he already on council? Answer is yes, right?
Yes, I am on council. I'm director of accounts and finance. Mm-hmm. A little bit about my background and everything. I've lived in Butler almost all my life. I went to school here. I graduated from Butler High, attended community college. I worked at AK Steel, Armco, and then AK Steel. I retired from there. I took an early retirement from there in 2000. Excuse me. When I was at AK, I worked in the continuous casting department of the melt shop. They had a quality program down there when I was there called Q Plus. I was chairman of the continuous casting quality plus program. After I retired from AK, I went to work for Manheim Pittsburgh, and I worked there for 10 years, and I retired from there. And retired from there about the same time my wife retired, and that worked well. Mm-hmm. I currently work a part-time job, and then I ran for city council a couple years ago, and I won or lost, depending on how you look at it.
So city council is a four-year term.
Yes, it
as
is.
As is mayor.
Yes, it is.
So even though you're a member of city council and still have two more years to go, you can run for mayor, obviously. Without having to resign your seat on council.
Yes, I can do that. And now if I do win for mayor, or if I do win the mayor's office, which I feel confident that I will, I would have to resign my seat and city council, and we would appoint somebody to fill in that seat.
I always ask candidates, and I'll do this for all of them that we talk to over the next week, what you see as key issues for the person who will be mayor of the city of Butler starting after the fall election. It could be one or two or several issues. What do you see as key?
I think the biggest problem, and from talking to people, our biggest problem is the opioid epidemic right now. That is a huge social problem. It affects everything. The bad publicity that Butler and the greater Butler area received in the past couple months has been terrible. I mean, it really has been, and we really have to get a good handle on that. And what we need to do, in my opinion, is to build relationships with our neighboring townships, build a better relationship with the county, mm-hmm. Their drug task force. I went to the drug crisis seminar last week. They had some great ideas there. We need to communicate with other municipalities to see what works with them. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to see what other people are doing and maybe we can adapt it to our community to make it work.
Yeah, sometimes Butler City, since Butler City and Butler County have the same name, sometimes people from Pittsburgh or surrounding areas kind of take it all as one, you know? We have had, I think, four homicides in recent weeks, directly or indirectly related to the drug problem, but not all of them have been in the city. I think only one was, but we get lumped in, don't we?
Yes, we do, and that's why I referred to it as the greater Butler area. I never used that before, but that describes it, you know. Mm-hmm. There was actually only one murder in Butler, with only one. There should be none. Mm-hmm. And we have to try and get a handle on this.
What other? What else do you see as a major issue that the mayor will face?
There are two big issues that I see coming up after that. One is the budgetary problem we are having right now. We have to really get our budget under control. I've been working on that since I took office. Was a real eye-opener when my second month in office, we ran out of money. Mm-hmm. You know, before taxes came in, there was just no money. And we solved that, and we tightened our belts quite a bit, and we ended up with a surplus. Even the auditors thought we'd run out of money in November, but we did make it through the year. Everybody got paid. We bought everything we needed, and we ended up with a small surplus. This year is not much better, you know, but it's coming along. You know, mm-hmm. we will survive by working together.
It's an issue that a lot of smaller cities and other towns, too, are facing. I think small cities in particular.
A lot of cities, every place has this problem. Your tax base is static or diminishing or is static. Costs go up. Our number one cost, obviously, is our employee costs. Of course, that's what it is everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. that's like business 101.
And they're fixed. It's labor contracts.
So, yeah, and you can reduce that, but it's still not going to solve the total expenditures. We have to look at new and creative ways to save money.
The city of Butler has downsized its city, the number of people on the city payroll over the years as the population has gone down. One example, I can remember when I was a kid, there were a lot more city police officers than there are now, but it was different then. You know, there was a city police officer on every corner to help with traffic, for one thing.
Yes.
The need isn't there now, and so the city has reduced, as a fiscal move, reduced the number. Are you satisfied with the number of police and firefighters that we have now?
Yes, I am. The police department has a retention problem with policemen right now. We've lost 10 officers for one reason or another in the past 18, 19 months, and the city cannot afford to be a training police force. You know, we can't train them and then they move on. You know, we just can't afford that. We need to retain the officers for a longer period of time. What we need to do is, you go to other communities, and one of the things I see when I travel around is I see a police presence on Main Street, and it doesn't have to be all the time. It doesn't have to be 24/7. It just has to be during the busy times, you know, to make it comfortable for people to feel safe when they walk the streets. You look at the Main Street of Butler compared to a lot of towns, we don't have as many vacant storefronts as a lot of places. Some places have a lot, and
drive through Newcastle if you don't believe.
Yes. Some places have a lot, you know, and we have a lot of storefronts there, a lot of small businesses opening, which is great. You know, it's one of the things the city needs. But we also would like, I think we should have a police presence on Main Street afternoon, early evening, late evening, whatever, to get people out. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Penn Theater come vibrant again. A lot of communities, that's popular now, and a lot of communities do this. You could go to Warren, you could go to Zillionople, you can go to Greensburg. You look, a lot of communities are revitalizing the old theaters into various types of performing arts centers to draw people in. Tonight there's currently something at the Arts Center, and if the Penn Theater on one end is open, you could have two things going on there, and with the restaurants on Main Street and the two breweries, that could be a very viable thing for the getting Main Street, bringing it back to life.
We have been fortunate to revitalize almost an entire block right in the middle of the city with a new pharmacy, a Rite Aid that's been open about a year and a half now. A new hotel is about to open. A new tier parking garage has just opened within the past month or so. Can the city capitalize on that? Can the city piggyback on that?
I hope so. You know, there's not...
Parking should help, for one thing. It's right in the middle of town.
Yeah, parking would help, although I will say this, the tier garage is a lot of that's leased parking for the hotel and such. Parking is another issue that people have mentioned to me, a lot of business owners have mentioned. One solution, and I'm willing to hear any other solutions people come up with, is if we put the meters back on Main Street, not so much for revenue, but actually to get people moving, you know. And you could go and sell the business owners, and this was suggested to me by some business owners in town, to sell them tokens at 50 cents or a quarter on the dollar. They could give it to their customers, the tokens, and as a benefit, you know. And most business owners would be glad to do that just so they could get customers. Mm-hmm. And that's one suggestion I've heard, and I like it. I've seen that work in other communities, and it seems to work well for them.
So these tokens would work in the meters?
Yes, they would. Hmm. And then when we collect it, they'd filter out the tokens and sell them back to the business owners.
Do people come up to you with suggestions and issues when they know you're running for mayor?
Oh, constantly. I hear so many things. When I'm knocking on doors, when I get my petition signed, and even now when I'm out visiting people, people come up with ideas. I do write them down, not necessarily at that time, but when I get home, I write them down. I have a legal pad that I write all these ideas down, and there's some really good ideas out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how viable some of them are. I have to give it some thought, but there are a tremendous number of creative people in Butler with great ideas.
Our time begins to run short. We purposefully are doing these 15-minute interviews. We feel it's part of our mission to help introduce candidates to the public, but at the same time, you know, we have to limit the time because there's a lot of people. And we will give Michael Walter a minute or so here to wrap up. I just want to refresh people's memories, or some people just joining us. We're chatting with three political candidates today. They're all running for office in the city in the May primary. And our first candidate is current Councilman Michael Walter. So if you could take just a minute to kind of wrap up, why do you think people should consider, well, this would be, why should Republicans consider voting for you? Because you're a candidate in the Republican primary next month. Why should they think about voting for you?
Well, my plan, my goal is to get the community working together, you know, through a teamwork thing, working with the unions, working with employees, working with business owners, working with residents, working with surrounding communities to make Butler, the greater Butler area also, a more vibrant place. we're all in this together. We have to work together on this. I mean, I can come up with ideas, but they might not be the best ideas. Somebody else might have a better idea. And mm-hmm. if they have a better idea, I'm going to jump on board with that. And I'll give credit to wherever credit goes. But if it's a good idea, I will support it. I would like to say, next thing, most important thing, go out and vote. I can't say that often enough. Go out and vote. And you can find me on Facebook on Mike Walter for Mayor, and I have a website, MikeWalterForMayor.com. Please check them out. There'll be more stuff on them periodically.
Thanks, Mike. I've been referring to Mike as Michael, and that's only because I think that's the way it appears on the ballot.
Yes,
Mike, I'm Michael Walter.
I'm number one on the ballot.
So I don't want anybody to be confused by me being either too familiar or too formal. Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you today.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. More to come, and we'll take a break here, and we're going to be chatting next with another candidate who's running for mayor. Ben Smith will be here, and still later on the program today, James Kemple, who's running for Butler City Council. So stick around. More to come here on It's Your Turn today. We'll be back after these words.
There are two distinct periods in music history, the big band era and doo-wop. Put them together and you've got yourself one swinging night of entertainment. The 16-piece Pittsburgh doo-wop big band with vocal accompaniment will feature tunes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doors open at 6, showtime 7:30. Saturday, May 20th on the stage of Butler Intermediate School. Tickets are only $20 and can be picked up at Mays Music Store, Natilly's North, or Tanglewood. Online, PennTheaterButler.com. Proceeds benefit Penn Theater Performance Company.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us. We've been doing candidate interviews at election time for many, many years, and it's something I really like to do because I feel that it helps people make a more informed choice whenever they go to the polling place. And the May primary is coming up. May 16th, I think, is primary election day, so it's just a little less than a month away. We have another candidate who's seeking the Republican nomination to run for mayor in the city of Butler, and that's Ben Smith. On the ballot, I think, as Benjamin Smith. Is that right, Ben?
That's correct, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And again, and I don't like to you know, I'm certainly not talking down to people, but it's difficult to keep all these things in your mind. You're running in the Republican primary, seeking the Republican nomination to run for mayor in November.
That's correct.
Just so people are clear on that. And by the way, we'll be talking with all the candidates over the course of the next 4 to 5 days. Tell us a little bit about Ben Smith. Some of our listeners will know you, some will not.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to meet those who I don't know, and even more excited to be running for the position. I live and work here in town. I own Reclamation Brewing Company on Main Street. We opened back in September of 15. I live here with my family, my wife Emily, and we have two kids, about 3.5 and 1.5 years old. So we've been living in Butler for the past few years. I spent a lot of time in Butler growing up. Lived in Katanning for a long time. But as we know, in Katanning, there's not a ton to do if you don't want to go to Walmart. So we kind of came to Butler to go to the library or to go to the mall or any kind of thing we needed to do for shopping. I was really in Butler. So, yeah, I tried to stay as involved in the community as I can. Obviously, with having the business here, it's easy to do that. It's easy to get plugged in, easy to be a participant. So just really have a passion for the city, for the businesses and the people in the city, and just want to continue to help make Butler a great place.
Now, you're a business owner, and we hear a lot that we need new models for business, whether it's manufacturing or industry or whatever.
Sure.
You're in one of the really new models, the craft brewing industry.
Yeah,
craft beers. They're exploding all over the country. How did you get involved in that? Was that a lifelong interest, or tell us a little bit about that?
Business is more of a lifelong interest for me. We started tinkering around with brewing, 6-7 years ago, and really started having a love for it and started enjoying doing that. And then as we progressed through and different people tried our brews and kind of the business aspect of things took over, and we thought, well, why don't we try to turn this into something bigger and try to put it somewhere where it would do a community good. And so, yeah, it was mostly a hobby to begin with, and then it turned into a business. So, plus I like to drink beer. So, I mean, that doesn't hurt anything, right?
Tell us what you see as some of the key issues that the mayor of the city of Butler will face when the mayor takes office following the November election. One, two, several. What do you see as key issues, Ben?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues that are very obvious and very easy to see for everyone. Obviously, we have a drug problem. We have problems with the city businesses and residents going away. Our city's population has been dwindling over the last couple decades. And when you start to realize some of the motivating factors behind that, some of them are the fact that we don't have a city government that necessarily gets along all the time. And I think that you don't want to just bend over and let people walk on you. But what you do have to do is be willing to work together in a way that can get things done, even if you have to compromise on an issue at times. Not all the time, but even if you have to compromise on issues, you need to be willing to work together with other people. And I think that's one of the biggest issues is assembling a good team, making sure that good people are in place. And, you know, that doesn't mean that there would be all new people. That some of the people who are in town are great individuals who are working for the betterment of the city. But putting a good team in place to make sure that there is cooperation and there is help that's there for the citizens and for the businesses coming in. And I think it's a put businesses in place, you start attracting homeowners, you start attracting good landlords with higher scale apartments, you start running out some of the less desirable things in town. And it's not a problem that we got to in 4 years. It's not a problem that's going to be fixed in 4 years. So I've told people, if you want to see a solution next year, don't vote for me, because I can't fix everything in 1 year. That's nobody can. Mm-hmm. But I think that just putting some of those things in place to start the ball rolling in the right direction, and those are some of the really big important aspects. And working together is big in any kind of association or government or business, for that matter.
The city of Butler has had financial turmoil, close calls for many, many years. Mm-hmm. It's no particular administration. I mean, you can go back 20-some years whenever the city had to petition the courts to allow them to raise taxes because they were flat out of money. This would seem to be a pretty big obstacle that mayor and council are going to have to deal with in one way or another. Do you have any thoughts on that, the city's financial picture?
I think it, you know, based on what you just said, we've been seeing the decline in the issues for a long time. So, again, this isn't an overnight solution. It's not going to get fixed immediately. But the solution goes back to what I think is bringing in businesses, bringing in homeowners, bringing in tax-paying citizens, not driving out nonprofits, but creating a better ratio of new businesses along with the nonprofits to pay in their taxes. And I'm not a fan of taxes. I don't know anyone who really is. But the taxes that are in place, I think, are sufficient if we have the volume that we need to hit. So that's one thing. That's a slow that's a slow fix, but it is a fix over time. There are multiple examples across the country, and I've got some of that stuff on my website, just some different case studies and stuff of cities who have done that in a decade mm-hmm. or two, where they've been able to turn around from very low tax base to a very high tax base based on what they already had in place. I think there are other programs that can be installed and other creative solutions with people working together that could continue to drive revenue. I know that the parking is one that's being examined. I don't know all the ins and outs of that at the moment, but I know that there's something to that, and it's not just giving people more parking tickets. I know that, you know, there are other avenues that can be created. Grants are huge, and I don't think the city really gets enough attention towards the grant direction for a source of income. So obviously you can't do everything with grants, and you can't fix everything with one program. It has to be a concerted effort. It has to mm-hmm. be a larger across-the-board kind of effort.
Some municipalities, some states for that matter, have enacted partial tax abatement programs in an attempt to attract new businesses. I think North Carolina is probably the most famous for doing that. Mm-hmm. There are some people, though, who think that's not fair to existing businesses to give a temporary tax abatement to newly established businesses. I think that the Butler Downtown Group has come up with sort of a mini plan for that, and it's been implemented. But what are your thoughts on that? Are you okay with that? Do you think that's a good idea, bad idea?
I'm a huge fan of that. And I mean, as someone who has benefited from those abatement programs with opening my own business, I see, let's say I'm paying full taxes, a ton of money every year. If you say we're going to give new businesses an abatement to bring them in, I say great, because we need new businesses for my business to continue to do well and for all businesses to continue to do well. If there's not enough business in town, if there's not enough attraction for people, then there are going to be less people coming to the businesses that are already established. So, you know, I think anyone who is against something that incentivizes new business, whether or not it affects their business directly right away, is thinking short term instead of long term, where if you think long term, you realize that in 5-10 years, these businesses are going to be paying taxes again, or for the first time maybe, but in the meantime, they're going to be bringing in a new set of clients, a new set of customers for us to really enrich the town and hey, bring revenue to the businesses that exist here already. So yeah, I am all in favor of incentivizing new businesses to come into the area and set up shop.
Do you see a healthy downtown business district as the key to a healthy city of Butler?
I think it depends on how you categorize downtown. I think we need to remember that, you know, that Butler businesses are not just Main Street, which I think is, you know, people are starting to see that more and more.
Yeah.
I think that it's important, though. Yeah, absolutely. It's what brings people to town. It's where people spend their money. I moved here because of my business and bought a home, set up my family. And, you know, I think other people have done that as well. I know other people have done that as well, and I think people will continue to do that. So if you give people a city with nothing to do or minimal things to do, there's less incentive to live there. And obviously the people living in a place, people doing business in a place, people coming from another place to shop in your city, all of those things continue to drive revenue and create more opportunities for the city to do things with that money that is but then beneficial to the citizens, which then encourages more citizens to keep coming, and then the whole cycle repeats.
Are you happy with the number of city employees? A lot of folks think that the past administrations, and I'm talking about over 25, 30 years, mm-hmm. have been fiscally responsible. Some departments are lower. City Police Department is much lower. Mm-hmm. I think the Streets and Parks Department only has 5 full-time employees. Do you think we're pretty good on that? We need more? We need less? What?
Obviously, I think the police and fire departments need strengthened. We have room on both forces that is not currently occupied by employees. So I think that we need to continue on a trajectory to make those positions more desirable for people to come into, more desirable for people to stay in. As far as the Parks Department and the Streets Department, I'm not as familiar with those. I'm going to be attempting to meet with them in the coming days. But I know that it's a tricky balance between how much money do we have and how much work needs done. And there comes a point when you have to say, well, we can't do that. But up until that point, you need to look at what's the more intrinsic value of this. If our streets are in disarray, does that incentivize people to come to town, or does it continue to force them away? And so sometimes you need to come up with creative solutions to make sure that those departments are fully staffed.
We're talking, if someone has joined us midstream here, and a lot of people do that because a lot of people listen to the radio in the car, especially this time of day, we're chatting with Ben Smith. It's Benjamin Smith on the ballot, just so you're not confused. Ben Smith is a candidate for the Republican nomination in the spring primary to run for mayor in the fall. So if you win the Republican nomination in the spring, mm-hmm. then you'll run for mayor in the fall against the Democratic candidate. What made you decide to run for mayor, Ben?
Well, it was kind of a long process. I started being approached last probably July, I think, and maybe even a couple people before that, but there had been a lot of encouragement to run for mayor from, notable people in the city, I guess you could say, members of various departments, member of different boards and councils that had come to me and said, we think you would be a good individual to seek a leadership position in the city. We'd be willing to back you at least with our votes, if not more so. So obviously you have to have a passion no matter how many people want you to do it. So if you don't have the passion, it's not there. But I've always had a passion for local government, for government. I was the guy in all the clubs in college who loved poring over our constitutions just because that's the kind of thing I'm in. I just like documentation. I like paperwork. I've tried to be a leader in any organization I've been a part of. And, the encouragement from the other notable individuals was really kind of what pushed me over the edge.
Our time begins to grow short. 15 minutes flies by
it does,
here.
Yeah, no problem.
I always end up a candidate chat by asking the individual to take a minute, just a short summary. Why do you think, now we're addressing Republican voters here because it'll be Republican voters in the Republican primary who
sure.
are making their choice for mayor. why do you think they should consider voting for you?
Yeah, I think that with my desire to work together with other individuals to put people in the right places where they can help create an impact, a focus on business, a focus on homeownership, a focus on higher-end apartments and rentals, driving out the negativity in the city, I think that through a process of teamwork and collaboration and thinking outside the box, thinking more than just kicking in doors to get rid of the nefarious type. Obviously, you need the police work, but I think you need to have a multi-pronged approach to really bring a city back from a point where it's in, many would say, disrepair. There's a lot of great things still about Butler, and I think there are a lot of even better things to come.
Ben Smith, candidate for the Republican nomination for mayor. As we mentioned earlier, we'll be talking with all of the candidates over the next several days, running for either Butler City Council or for mayor. In fact, we'll be talking with a candidate for council coming up next. Ben Smith, nice to have you here.
Thanks, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, good to talk with you. We'll take a break, and when we come back, our final candidate chat for today. We have a somewhat shortened It's Your Turn program today because we're going to be headed to St. Louis before the bottom of the hour for Pirate Baseball today here on WISR. So stick around, back to meet our next candidate right after these words.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. Have been for the past 40 years. And compared to factory prices, will save you big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the United Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. Yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Back, folks. We'll meet our final candidate here in just a moment. I wanted to take a second and tell you about one of our sponsors on the program today. That's our good friends at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And I do mean, these are such good people. They really are. And they do so much for the needy individuals and needy families. You can help, and this time of the year especially, because it's spring cleaning time, right? Doing your spring cleaning, or maybe you're moving, maybe you're downsizing, maybe you're empty nesters now. Don't just throw stuff away. We're asking you, we're begging you. Consider donating clothing, shoes, furniture, household items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. It couldn't be easier. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart, just south of Butler, right off Route 8 there. They're about four doors up from the Friedman store, if you don't know where they're located. Plenty of free parking right outside the door. The donation bins, the drop-off bins, are right inside the front door. It couldn't be easier, really. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and all the money generated from the operation of the thrift store stays right here in Butler County to support the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and the Client Aid Program. If you have big stuff or lots of stuff, they'll come and get it. Call them at 287-8682. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Joining us in the studio now is James Kempel. Jim is a candidate for City Council, and you're running in the Republican primary, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be too familiar. Is Jim okay?
Yeah,
Jim?
Jim's fine, yes.
Although it's probably going to appear on the ballot as James Kempel,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Some of our listeners will know you. Some will not have any idea who you are. Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a retired state corrections officer. I worked down in a maximum security penitentiary for 20-some years. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm a private investigator and I have an armed security service. And I'm single father, raising my daughter by myself.
Is your private security service here in the Butler area?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Have you held political office before? By the way, some folks consider that a bonus if you have, or some folks consider it a bonus if you have not. So just for information.
No, I have not held political office. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny that you said that, because I was thinking that, like, well, the city's in a deficit. Well, apparently the political offices the people have the issues in aren't doing very good with it.
Mm-hmm. How did you, or what made you decide to run for Butler City? By the way, folks, there are 5 members of Butler City Council. And Butler is, I don't know, third or fourth class city, I forget, but it is state law, state rules, 5 members of council, one of whom is the mayor, mm-hmm. also a member of council. That's different in Pittsburgh, for example, where the mayor of Pittsburgh is not a member of their council. But here in Butler, 5 members. One is the mayor. There are 4 other members. You're seeking to run for one of those other 4 seats. So what made you decide to take a shot at it?
Well, this actually reversed back to when I was working for the state. I asked one of my lieutenants one time. I said, why do you keep promoting a lot of the guys that shouldn't be promoted in the institution? Mm-hmm. He said, Jim, because guys like you weren't taking the test. And I made a good point. And it's the same thing with this. If we can't get good people to get into the city, into the council, and start trying to take an outlook of what's going on in the situations, how's it ever going to change? And nowadays, we need better people, better changes. And I'm just going to try to do the best I can. I'm one person, I'm one vote, but I will do the best that I can.
What do you see as key issues that Butler City Council has to face over the next 4 years? Anything pop into mind as a key issue that they'll be having to deal with?
The city drug department. The drugs in the city is just outrageous. There's a lot of handicap that I think should be taken care of, like the city police department really needs to upgrade. They need a lot more guys. They're working a ton of hours. One of my main issues is on the ODs.
When they overdose.
When people OD. And the city responds. You have 3 city officers that are responding. You have the police department, you have the fire department, you have the ambulance. We're not being reimbursed. We're not getting paid for that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have at least 6 people there, and you take an average of just $20. It's $120 an hour that's not being reimbursed to the city. And then with the Good Samaritan Act, that the law enforcement aren't allowed to charge them. I understand that. Well, let's go forward with the Good Samaritan Act, and why not turn around and there is no refusal. There is no refusal going to the hospital and getting checked out. I don't see how somebody that could actually overdose make a conscious decision of not going to the hospital and get checked out. I think they need to be transported. I think the city needs to be reimbursed for that. I think that's a big epidemic that we need to take care of.
Can the city handle that without any help from the county or even this is a problem. It's being looked at, as I'm sure you know, at both the state level in Harrisburg and even in Washington. They've suddenly realized that the opioid crisis is a problem all over the country. Does everybody need to work together? I'm thinking especially of funding, of course, because this is expensive.
Right. Well, that's the same thing as I'm thinking of the expenses. When I live real close to the Butler Hospital, I slip and fall and break my leg. I call the ambulance. The ambulance comes and picks me up. Takes me to the hospital, they send me a bill. That's the same thing that the city's going to start doing. That's what I want to do. Bill the residents. Okay? Now, as far as epidemic, the ODs and stuff like that, if that happens in a business, businesses don't count because mm-hmm. of the simple fact that they are open to the public. They cannot refuse somebody from coming in. Mm-hmm. But if we start building the dwellings, that'll take in consideration for the rental properties. They will receive the bill. Family dwellings will receive a bill. That's how it goes.
Is the drug crisis the real root of the crime problem?
In this city?
Specifically, I guess, that we're talking about, but you know, a lot of folks say it. If people get addicted, then they will commit crimes to get the money they need to buy drugs.
It's true. They do. They will. They have no rhyme nor reason. You know what I mean? All they do is go from that one high to the next high, and they'll do any means possible to get that high. And it's a sorry epidemic. My heart bleeds for them, but we got to help them somehow. And not letting them refuse to go to the hospital, I believe that is a start.
We're talking with Jim Kempel. James Kempel is how it will appear on the ballot. Jim is seeking a Republican nomination to run for Butler City Council. There are two seats that are up for election on Butler City Council this year. Two seats. And Jim is seeking the Republican nomination to run for one of them. Any other major issues that you see the city having to deal with over the next 4 years, other than you say, without question, the drug problem is number one?
Well, that and income. The city's in a deficit, so we need to create an income. We need to get more things into the city. We lost the Rodfathers who put on all the Main Street
car show. Yeah.
Car show. We need to bring things back. The concerts were doing good down there. That wasn't too bad. Just anything that we can to bring revenue. We do need revenue to help fight all the problems that we need.
What about increasing the tax base, the tax receipts? New business, a lot of people think, is the key to that, so that they would be paying taxes, you know.
The thing is you're taxing the city people. Most of the people who work for the city don't live in the city. One of the criterias in Allegheny County is if you work for the city department, you live in the city, regardless of where you're at. A lot of people do not live in the city who work for the city. So that means they're paying taxes elsewhere. As far as taxing the city people, it's, again, we're penalizing everybody that lives here. I mean, enough's enough. If anything, there should be a city tax for the people who are actually living in a city, that are not living in a city, mm-hmm. that should pay tax.
What about people who don't, they're not on the city payroll, they don't work for the city, but they work in the city for someone else, some other business? Would you favor a tax on them, some kind of an occupational tax for working in the city?
Well, they're not being paid by the city then.
No.
Right. They're being paid by an individual. So why would they be taxed?
Well, just a revenue maker, I guess.
Yeah. It is a revenue maker, but you're also taking, the businessman is already paying the city tax. And now you want to tax his employees on it? I don't know about that. That's something I'd have to look into, but I'd have to look into it. I really don't know. To be honest with you, I'm going to just try to do the best I can.
What about the condition of the streets in the city? Do you see that as a major issue that needs to be addressed? There was a time quite a few years ago where the city went several years without doing any repaving at all. Some of the streets are pretty bad shape, some of the residential areas especially.
Yeah, I do agree with that. The streets definitely need to be taken care of, absolutely. But again, we need money for that. Need to generate revenue for that. You get better streets in the city, we actually definitely need that. You know, I can see a lot more work, but you need the revenue to do that. As far as how much revenue we have for the street department, That I do not know. That is something that I need to look into.
What do you think about traffic going through downtown Butler? I've heard some people complain that people speed through the downtown, especially up and down Main Street, especially big trucks. Are city police capable of ticketing people on a state highway like that?
Yes, yeah. They are. They have the legal right to ticket people when they're speeding.
Mm-hmm. Or sliding through stop signs or whatever. Mm-hmm. We all see it happening, don't we?
Oh, we see it happen a lot, yeah. There's a camera system that's installed. Uh-huh. We could use a camera system and start using tickets that way, which would help the police department because they don't have to respond. It's the same thing that they do in California and Pittsburgh. Same thing that the Pennsylvania Turnpike uses. The camera goes off the picture, they send you a ticket. Hmm.
Time flies by so very quickly. Just because there are a lot of candidates seeking office in the city, we've had to limit our candidate chats to 15 minutes. But I always like to take a couple of minutes at the end, Jim, and just let our candidates talk informally. You're a candidate in the Republican primary, so this will be just Republicans that you're talking to because they're the only ones that can possibly vote for you in the primary next month. Why should they consider voting for Jim Kemple for Butler City Council? Why should they consider voting for you?
Well, I think it's time for a change. And the only way to get a change is put new people in and see what we can do. Now, as far as having a great idea on things, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But the thing is we need to work together as a city to handle the problems that we need. And that means Republican, Democrat, every individual out there. We need to work together to make this city beautiful as it was. I remember walking down when I was a kid, walking through the city. People would holler hi, wave to you, say hi to you, talk to you, how you're doing. They knew your mom, they knew your dad, they knew your uncles, they knew your whole family. I love Butler, and I love to see Butler back to that way again.
Jim Kemple. It'll be James Kemple on the ballot when you go to the polling place. Jim Kemple visiting with us here today. He is seeking a Republican nomination to run for city council. Jim, good to meet you. I'm appreciative that you were able to stop in and chat with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate meeting you, too.
Nice to have you on the program. There are other candidates. If you're wondering, you know, we're not giving anybody short shrift here. We'll be chatting with everybody who's a candidate over the next few days. Okay, we have a message or two, and then we've got to get ready to head to St. Louis because we've got Bucko baseball coming up here. So we thank our candidates chatting with us today, and we welcome you to be back with us tomorrow for It's Your Turn, starting at 12:30. Pirate baseball in just a couple of minutes. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Dating back to the administration of Robert P. Casey, Radio PA's Ask the Governor program has connected you with your Commonwealth's governor. Governor Tom Wolf is the latest chief executive to answer your questions on Radio PA, as each month he joins us in studio to address the major issues affecting you, your family, and your community. In this era of political bickering and infighting, Radio PA's Ask the Governor is still a place for a lively but civil discussion of hot-button issues.
In any society, there are people who just want to yell at each other, but the folks who get things done are the folks who sit down and say, okay, we disagree. Let's figure out you know, how we can actually work together.
You can be a part of our next program with Governor Tom Wolf by visiting pamatters.com and clicking on the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You can also email a question directly to askthegov@pamatters.com. That's askthegov, G-O-V, at pamatters.com. Send your question or comment today and be part of our next edition of Ask the Governor.
Well, Mr. 60's here. I know you love the oldies more today than yesterday, and we love you here at WISR. Join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. It's the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldie Show. All the greatest hits and some interesting info about your favorite artists. Let me bring a little love to your Saturday mornings that will last you all day long.
balls and five.